You see, it's very erratical in the civil. One day, 2 days, 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, we can pull on. But then there is a limit to the...
Take heed, huh? Listen up.
But then, what is this nonsense? You see, even wife gets fed up. He says, why don't you... Why don't you mend your ways? Why don't you behave properly? He will say that. He would take upon the blame upon him. He would take the blame upon himself, and he would all the more cuddle him, bring him clothes, and all that. Through sheer helplessness, he would turn good.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no way out, no escape, nowhere, no outlet for his evil intention. So therefore, he had to turn in and be responsive to the goodness that is reflected from Bhagavad all the time. That's all. That is how we were mended. If at all we are mended, I should say. Or whatever reflected mendedness was there, was because of him.
Sometimes he
was. Yeah. He was very indulgent. Very, very indulgent. For all of us. For all men and women both. Not that men were... such, you see, even women were there like that, but equally, same thing. He would love the men, he would love the women equally. There's no distinction between sex or anything. Nothing of the sort. So many such instances were there. And that is why I said so often that I never took him for his word, you see, that he is that ancient one. Never. How can mind accept such a thing? But when mind started analyzing, you see, that one can never put one's finger on any limit to him, then mind started feeling that he is beyond this and beyond loving and beyond being kind and beyond being patient and beyond being merciful and all that. So then the infinite attributes of compassion and bliss and real love, they dawned on me. That's how my mind eventually went to and had to accept what he is.
You know what I was wondering, Rishi, like some people I was wondering what kind of, what was it like, what was Baba's physical presence like? Like everybody has some sort of different, you know, you feel the presence in some different way, like take Adi, for instance, Adi K.
Mm-hmm.
You feel, you know, like I feel it, you know, he's sort of like, you know, he's sort of, you know, hot and alive, you know. You know, sometimes he's moody, you know. But you can feel all these things, and this sort of, and then on the other, and then sort of like, for contrast, sort of like the opposite of that would be, you know, a person like Gover, you know, who you feel sort of soft and flowing, and Adi is sort of hot and quick going, or sort of warm.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
But like, what was, did Baba have any consistent, give any consistent impression like that, that you remember?
Of himself?
Yeah, I mean, when you were with him, would you feel that he was hot and quick, or, you know?
Oh, he was all that. He shared all our moods, you see.
Okay.
He shared in all our moods, and comforted us in our moods. He expressed concern for all the variations in our moods. That's how he brought us close to him. He didn't throw us out, you see, when we were in nasty mood. He would justify a nasty mood by accepting the fact that, well, what you feel is quite right, is but human for you. If you were not angry, you would be like a stone. Mm-hmm. Then he would try to give such a good twist to it. But
some
then,
shape.
Yeah, the twist, the shape of it. It would dawn upon us that it's so obvious, it is right. If we are like stone, then of course, no amount of anybody spitting or even shitting on it will ever evoke any anger or resentment. But you are a stone, your hearts, your mind and all that. You are supposed to express your feeling, you are supposed to express your anger and all that. But that doesn't mean that you should be angry. That doesn't mean that you should harbor any grudge. That doesn't mean that you should show your temper every now and then and just express yourself that you are angry on somebody. Nothing of the sort. It is in its wake, you see, it comes and passes by. Allow it to flow. All this has to flow out of your system. is as a result of the impressions. You see, then that's who you are. Don't resist, don't check, don't be reticent. That's how he is. And then, but then he would also express that feeling. He would make us feel that he resents our attitude. He would make us feel that he's displeased with us also. He will make us feel that sometimes. So then, but when will he do that? When we are really mending our ways. So that we don't go. Yeah, when we are really, then the slightest thing, you see, you know. So what happens, you see, he keeps us in a trap. You see, we want to please him, and slightest defect, you see, you'd be displeased with us. The greatest of things where he should have thrown us out or spat upon us, at that time he comforted us, he cuddled us, he brought us close to him and said, don't worry about it, you forget about the whole thing. And he would.
He never referred to it again.
Never. But then what happened, when we are mending our way, yeah. You'd like to please him and all that, and then...
He let you have a good sound.
The slightest little thing, then we can't go. Then we feel so much that we are displeased. You know, see? And then there is a big step forward to please him, to go to any extent to please him. Yeah. That's how it is. There's master psychologist, you see, on human level.
Because too. Otherwise, really, if you feel so bad, then you just want to give up. Pardon? You know what I mean? Like, when you really feel you've displeased him, and if he also shows that you've displeased him, then you would feel like giving up.
Yeah.
You know, you would just go, it's too much. But when they love and cuddle you, then you kind of come out of it then, you know.
That's how it is. In your weakest moments, he will share your weaknesses. He will not admonish you. You see, he will say it's so true. But when you have strength behind you, then he will point out your weakness. So that with your strength, you can then overcome your weaknesses in future. That was the psychology he used. If at all he used psychology, that was his trait, it was his nature. We call it psychology. It's nothing of the sort. He never used the word psychology. I know, only recently after he dropped the body, we hear of all the psychiatric treatment and psychology. There was no such thing as psychology or anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know what I was wondering about, Raj, is like, when you would be interpreting his gestures, say, I've seen it in the movies, he does a few things, you know? It just seems like he would start something. He'll start something,
and you go blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, what about that? But he would sit there and listen to this and this is pretty good. What would he do? Would he enjoy like that? Would he stop you if you were taking the wrong tack?
Yes.
How would that work?
The thing is that...
Did you ever improve upon his things and he would ever speak to this?
Improve upon his
things? I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Such moments are the moments, you see, when he begins with something. Now, suppose... No, but he has said it so often. Suppose if he says this today, and after a month, I really had a very good memory, I remember that. But then what has happened is that with this, when he tells something today, say, and after a month, when he's meeting other people and all that, he broaches the same subject. And then I go on repeating, and I bring out the whole thing again. That's where you see in the film that I'm going on, you see.
Yeah.
But that is not that. It's just the repetition of what he had said some time ago. The understanding that he has given us. So I said that Baba had said this, Baba told us this. Baba sahab, aao na jara intimate bolo na in log ko. Achcha, achcha. Tumhara jara mind fresh ho jayega yahan. Heather, go. So, that's how it would be. So that's where you see me like that. Otherwise, it's not possible. What can we improve on Baba? I used to improve on Gustaji, there's no doubt about it. Or anybody else is this. Baba would want, you see, you can see from his face. He wants me to admonish somebody.
Okay.
He wants me to eulogize somebody on his behalf. So go ahead, full speed, full steam. That's why my nature has become like that. You see, it's very erratic because I was so much mixed up with all the positive and all the negative simultaneously. It has become like
he was changing
all the time. Yeah, the situation was all the time. It was like that, and even the correspondence, even the replies, and all everything positive and negative all jumbled together. In one breath, it is like one happy news. Next moment, I put that and read the worst of news. Put that and put this, and then reply them one after the other. How can one do that unless one becomes like a rock? You see? Yeah. One is absolutely apart from one, all these things, and he just carries out. But one has to pour out the feelings in there so that it must touch the heart that is there. So one has to be very sincere also in this. So all these conflicting thoughts and emotions, you know, that have made me crazy.
Yeah. Maybe it's made you sane.
Yeah, sane in the respect that it's all nothing. It's not even vapor, it's not even smoke. You see. It appears like smoke, but it's not even that. It has given me time and again that experience. All this, you see, you're being cheerful and happy and indifferent and miserable and worried. Nothing.
What about these, you said Gustav used to see ghosts?
Made up things. Sometimes you'd say that, no, he would see this, but I don't know whether he made them up or he would see it. But he
was a good entertainer.
Yeah, good entertainer.
Something interesting.
Yeah, for the day to make up. Baba begin a day with a cheerful note, and then go enter into the more serious aspects of the day.
Right away?
Not right away. Yeah, when you come, there will be cheer and liveliness spread, you see. You and then gradually, one after the other. Yeah. That was the trick. That's how one has to begin the day.
But did you feel his attention when you met him in the morning? I mean, would you ever feel his attention was on you, his attention was on something else? I mean, would it shift? I mean, like, you meet somebody else, you know, like, you meet a normal, ordinary person, say you meet Bhaji.
Yeah.
You feel Bhaji is thinking about...
Yeah, just now I felt this.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I felt that he was... either he should come inside or...
Going, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So therefore my attention was there, you see. Like so that. We immediately came to know that he was waiting for her.
Right.
So that's how we feel that way also. Okay. That he has come, you see. He has got something on his mind today.
He had something he wanted to do, or
something very serious. He was in a serious mood. He was in a very jovial mood. He is sad. Every emotions were expressed by him as a human being.
But would you say that would he mostly have something on his mind?
But that didn't deter him to take part and share in the lively mood of the others. That is the fundamental difference between an ordinary human being and a perfect human being. Suppose if I am in a jolly mood today, and he comes with all the heavily burdened...
He'll enjoy your jolly mood.
Weak I can't. If I am full of sadness, I'm weighed down with great sadness, will I ever be able to enjoy your mood?
No. You can't.
No, I can't. But he would relax. And he'd go all out, you see, to make me feel so happy with my own jollity. That is the difference between... He became man amongst men, no doubt. But then the difference of a perfect person and limited, ordinary person is this. He can be on the same level at some same time, you see. He must have expressed some great serious concern over some affair there, behind the wall there. And he comes heavily burdened, you see. Here over there. And something happened. We know that something has happened there, it seems, today. And if something happens here, he'll just enjoy that. And then revert back to that same serious thing. And then he'll tell us what to do and what should be done and all that. Can an ordinary person do such a thing? No. So that's where
he was
outstanding.
I think it'd be very difficult to bear being with someone who's like that. And drive you nuts.
No, but if you remain yourself to be, but once you are determined to be his, so all this becomes. Once you are no longer your own, then it's all easy. Well, of course, you can't be that. Humanness is such that it reminds you of your being, because the ego is still there, is always there. But then that ego is much weakened, you may call it, is much more made more flexible, instead of stiff, stiff backed. It's flexible in all directions, like a puppet, you see. Yeah. Allow it to let the fingers move. It's backbone, you see, his finger. Then it's so easy. It has its own trait. The puppet has its expressions, feelings, and everything. But how you move, there you go. But if the puppet were to be stiff, he can't move them. You follow them?
Yeah, very, very well.
So that's how we remain with them. Simple and easy.
He did most of
it. Yeah, he did, of course. Gave the credit to us. That is one of the states, too.
Nothing for you.
What else? Ah, yeah. The other day, you know, Eric, I missed you. You had very good stories with the first group that came in, your child and others. And I think one day, Heather, you had come also and we were talking many things personal about Baba. Were you here that day? You must be there. Some day there was a holiday that you and Heather took, before Heather went.
That was from the intimate chat. No, I wasn't here, but I heard.
You
all
weren't
the,
here.
I heard on the intimate chat.
Oh my!
What? I didn't hear.
You?
No, now I can't bring back because there was that atmosphere there. You see, like that. Nobody was there. Just a few of us were there, and somebody incited me. And of course, it was very, very good. Very, I liked it. I enjoyed myself. So that day we missed you. You weren't here, you were. No, I asked you next day whether Heather told you all that.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
wanted to serve Baba that day. You went
just be quiet. Right now.
You went to Mehrabad that day. I knew that.
I heard the intimate chat.
Yeah. So what happened was, Sammy was here. You know my cousin Sam?
Yes.
So he told me one very, very heartwarming information that he gave me that day was that I would like to share with others, and I have shared with some of them in the past weeks. So he said, there is one crazy cousin of mine. Sammy is also my cousin, first cousin. There's another first cousin also of mine by name Dora. He's in Bombay. He works in the bank. And he's crazy about Hafiz. Yeah, he reads Hafiz a lot and he goes on, you see, giving up. Whenever he would come, he would just speak in terms of Hafiz. And that delighted Baba because both, same Guru Chela, you see.
Yeah.
Same interest, and then he would read something and Baba would explain the depth of it because he doesn't follow the depth of it. Couldn't. He's a novice, he doesn't even know proper Persian. But why he picked up Hafiz is because Baba likes it. That's why he wants to go in deeper and deeper and deeper. So whenever he sends us our birthday greetings or anything of the sort, he sends that there's a couplet of Hafiz that he opens. Whatever Hafiz has in store for you, he narrates that. You see, he gives the meaning, the superficial meaning. So he used to send Baba also his birthday greetings. So formally, Baba's birthday was celebrated on 6th of February or 7th of February, according to the Western calendar. Yeah. So he would open it and see it because it needed time for him to write it in proper hand and decorate the paper and make it ornamental and all that. So he would make it a point to, by the end of January, on 31st January, 30th January, 1st of February, he would open it so that he has some time for mailing it, writing and then post and all that, so that it arrived on in the first week of February, in the hands of Baba. 31st January, you see. Did you hear this?
Mm-hmm.
On 31st January 1969, he opened it as usual, after coming from office and all that.
Invoking Hafiz and
give us the right thing for Baba, the blessing or something, whatever he must have thought, we don't know. So he opened it. And what happened? Baba had dropped the body at the day. And he opened it in the evening.
But he hadn't heard it.
He hadn't heard it. So he says, oh, you who wish to write a letter, where will you address the one who is all pervading? All pervading. So he couldn't follow. He says, what is this? So he tried to read and read again. He says, what's the matter?
I've got his Persian dictionary out.
Yeah.
So he couldn't follow it. He was disappointed. He says, why is it like that today? It doesn't give anything. What greeting is there like that? Oh, you who wish to write a letter to him, where will you address him? Because he's all pervading. So then, of course, he was disappointed, so he changed it. Again, he says, maybe I have not pleased Hafiz today, so he opened it again, and then something else came, and he wrote. He sent the letter. No, he kept it that way to write, but in the meantime, he heard the news. So that's what Sammy told me. I didn't know that. Yeah.
It's funny because in Hafiz, he always talks about, he doesn't talk about his world.
This fellow naturally would hear all these things and feel so eager and anxious to be of help. And Baba told him never to do that.
Never?
Never to tell him, never to talk to him about finances.
Is it?
Yeah. So, well, he was very hesitant, he didn't know what. One day it so happened that Baba wanted to go out on a tour with all his people. Darshan. So, what should it be? So, then the list of people who were to accompany Baba was a long list, and the journey was long, had to visit so many places and all that. And what is the budget that is needed? Some amount was there. So, it would be about 20,000 rupees or something like that, or 25,000 rupees. I forget now. So then who is going to put the bill? Who's going to finance it? All were there, Bajwani was there. Multi-million money.
Definitely.
And his hands were itching to do something. This talk took place in Guru Prasad. I was like, of course, Bajwani will give.
He must have been so damn
very happy.
Oh, wow, and he must have really been
very happy. And he was very joyous and in a very good mood that day. But eventually Baba accepted. No, but just see the foresight of Baba. See the foresight of Baba. Now, so naturally, there were about 4,000 rupees spent or something. I forget not the exact figure. So, the budget was, say, 20,000 rupees and 4,000 was spent. Why I say that? Because 16,000 he kept by. It was not spent.
Achcha.
Traveling took only that much. Third class traveling. And if people were fed by others, so the expenses were just 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is to be done with 16,000 rupees? Follow the budget was for 20,000 rupees. So he didn't say anything, but in his heart of heart he knew that he had promised Baba. So he willed it. That I owe 16,000 rupees. 16,000 rupees? Yeah, to take to him.
And because that way Baba can refuse.
Whatever it be,
he couldn't say no. Then.
Couldn't say then no.
Yeah.
So no, but just wait. See what happened now. So, suddenly Gujran died. Heart attack. He was here on 13th of October 1968, and on 16th he died.
Really?
Yeah.
When this tour happened, he didn't just give all the money. He kept it and paid it as he went.
Baba said that Baba told him to do that. That he would be the exchequer, you see.
He is
the person who would be a pay.
So he went.
Huh?
He went with you.
Yeah. So that's how it is. So, it so happened that he died. Now, naturally, we were very sad, very good person. Very good. Really, very good one. So many pictures are there and all that. wholehearted devotion for Baba and all that. He came to Vaswani. You know Sadhu Vaswani? Meera school in Pune. Dada Vaswani and all that, that East, West, Meera.
Yes, 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 I read those. Little booklets,
yeah. So, very philanthropic person, I would think. But unfortunately, Baba had plugged him here. He didn't accept anything. So now, after some days, you see, his son came. And he said to Baba that my father has left 15,000 rupees for you and for you. So Baba said, I know that, I'm very happy. Put it at my feet. Means you just drop it at the feet. For him, Baba means it was just something like a trash. Drop it at my feet. Not worthy even to accept it like that. Yeah, it is like that. Baba always gesture was that, drop it here. You see? So, means taking your physical possessions is what? Is keeping, making your heart clean. It is driving out the strangers. The filth is to be washed and clean. Where do you wash? Do you hold it in your hand? You just allow it to flow out. So that is the, what do you call the outlet for it? Flow. Drop it at my feet. You see, that's the sign. He says, but Baba, I couldn't bring it now because they're all, engaged. Apart from probate and all that, I don't have any liquid cash. I said, take your time and bring it. And then put it. So he went. So he said, nothing has come. Nothing. Doesn't even come here. Doesn't even here. He's a multi-millionaire, mind you.
Still waiting.
Yeah, still waiting.
For his next world tour.
So Baba one day tells us, why worry about it? When Baba was in need of money and all that, so we reminded him, don't do that. I will need money after 700 years. So that is my saving there, you see.
Oh my gosh.
So it will be with compound interest. Just see with the minimum interest there, how much will it be with compound interest after 700 years? So that's how people give. That's how when he takes, it is these things that he accepts.
Yeah. What's already his.
Yeah, that's what already his, he says. You follow?
Yeah.
See, it's no wonder if somebody drops a million dollar check or something there at his feet. And there's no wonder, since that was there, it has come to that amount.
It's probably that way with everybody too. Yeah. I mean, what you have now is what is already.
So I think it's your two advantage either to be in his debt or to have him owe you something or you owe him something. Either way, he has to seek you out and
settle the score. Yeah. That's right.
But the thing is, this is something very beautiful about Bhasini Maharaj, says that if he owes you, he never has any assets to speak of, any liquid cash. So he can't. He can never settle the debt in currency or kind. The only way he can do it is to settle it in service. So he invites you into his house and has you serve him.
That's right. This reminds me of the treasure of the story about Buddha, you know. There's somebody who was in Vietnam. Very great need on that. What to do now? So he went out, you see, in search of work. And he was a very enterprising person. He wanted to earn money. He wanted to see that his wife and children were kept well fed and all that, and well dressed. Man of the world, he wanted money. Well, to be well spent. He tried his level best, putting his hand here in business or in any art or any engineering, nothing happened. So he was desperate. So he said, oh, he'll go out in the world and try to find somebody who can guide him as to how he can get wealth, how he can earn wealth and then gain wealth. So when he went out from place to place, he had heard about sages and saints who can also guide you know what happens? That he comes across this person.
Too bad.
No.
You heard of
no, him? No, it's too bad.
Yeah. So then he comes across a person who is just reclining against a tree there. And far away look as if nothing matters in the world. So he saw that person was in search of wealth. He spotted this man. And you know, Buddha, after all, is the center of attraction of the world when he is in the world. So he will draw. So he comes. So Buddha looks, that far away look is there. So he, that fellow bows down. So Buddha says, "What do you want?" "I want to earn wealth. Please help me." So Buddha chuckles and laughs. He says, "To whom have you come? I don't possess anything. You want wealth from a person who doesn't have even proper clothes on his body. Aren't you mad? This is not the way to earn wealth like that. Go to a person who possesses wealth." He says, "Yeah, that's right. He's so sane. What he says is right. And he doesn't do anything here." So with great reverence and respect, he again bows down and leaves. He turns and is about to go. So Buddha in his own way says, "Come here, man, come here. I remember one thing. You see, before I came and settled down here under this tree, it so happened once, I was in possession of the touchstone."
"Guru Maharaj?"
"Yeah. Just wait, listen to the story. So, and finding no use for it, I'll throw it away. And you know, you see that big tree there? Which tree? That tree? No, that tree there. Underneath that, make a thorough search and you'll still find it there. Because I think nobody has gone there. I'm here. Many years have passed by. But if you go there, you'll surely find it. And maybe it might be of help to you. But I don't have any wealth here. And anybody who is in search of the worldly wealth knows about the touchstone. Anything that is touched, any metal is touched, it turns, transmutes into gold, you see. It's not the one spot, the whole thing becomes gold. That's the beauty of the touchstone." So he goes there, and he eventually, after weeks of search, just touches this, just touches that, touches. Got the stone. Got the stone. And he was so mad, so hilariously mad, you see, with joy that he has got the wealth of the world in his hand, you see. A touchstone means what? It can convert anything into gold. So he fainted. He dropped it, fainted, lost his consciousness and all that. His mind was so overwhelmed, so intoxicated with that, with the joy of having that touchstone in his fist. He fainted. After some time, long time, he revived. By this time he was so sane. He looked at it. What has happened? See, his awareness came back that he possessed the treasure of the world in his hands. He looked at in the direction from where he came, who guided him. He says, "But that man doesn't possess anything of the worldly. What is it that he possesses that made him throw this treasure of the world? So he must be having greater treasure than this worldly treasure there. What is it?" "Oh, he directed me to a stone which is considered to be the treasure of the world. And he threw it away," he said. "And he says, take it if you want to. So he must be having some greater treasure in his possession. What will I do with this?" He threw it off to another tree. He was so sane with the thought. It was his time.
Yeah.
Buddha himself was the touchstone. You see? He was the touchstone. These stones are his reflections. So he wanted to draw him back. So he comes reverentially to him. He says, "Lord," he says, "what is it? Why do you come again? Didn't you find the touchstone there? Were you not satisfied?" He says, "That touchstone led me to think of many things all at once. What is that?" The simple thought that came to my mind is that one who possessed this and threw it away must be possessing something greater, and therefore I retraced my steps to you. Will you permit me to be by your side so that I can share the treasure with you? He said, have you thrown it away? I said, yes. Then you are fit to be by my side.
Oh, what a nice dog.
Oh, my Bobby. Oh, Bobby Babu. How are you feeling today? You're cold? Doesn't leave you. Doesn't.
I don't think it's a cold.
Then what is it? Is it some allergy there?
I think so.
Then take something for allergy.
Allergy to what?
Allergy to your environment, surrounding, to persons, to the warm woolies that you wear.
It's great. Woolies.
Or allergy to the dollar checks that you count, or something like that. How is everybody at your end?
Fine.
Good. Any mail that you brought, Bobby? Anything that you brought today?
Newspaper.
Huh? Newspaper? Mm-hmm. No, nothing. That's all bogus as Bobby says.
There's one good newspaper we read called Hindu in the South.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The child wants to play and all that, and hands are full of filth and dirt and all that, mm-hmm. mud. They'd like to call the child and wash it, because we know that it will have tried to demise and has to eat now and eat. So we would, the mother or the parents would feel concerned about the health, you see, of the child and cleanliness. So that's why it was, that's how we felt about Baba's physical body, you see. We felt it is time that he should take bath now, it's time that he should wash his hands and face and all that. So that's how we used to.
But would you, how would you
induce him?
How would you introduce the topic? Would he try?
We would try to tell, you see, this domain is left with the women, you see. They would prepare the bath water for him and keep it ready for him to take bath and all that. You take bath formally, you take bath at 4 o'clock in the morning when we were there with him. So I had to keep ready everything at 4 o'clock. Regularly, but then as years passed by, and then we were in search of the masks and tours and all that, baths were very infrequent. And then after the accident, he continued for some time, and gradually he dropped it. So then there was a lot of inducement from the women's side. And he would always dilly dally and make
tomorrow,
false promises
tomorrow.
See you the next day.
Yeah.
And false promises. For the next days. So they got also. They lost all hope and all that. So they would ask us to do something.
So what would his attitude be? Would his attitude sort of be like you make it sound like
very congenial. Very what do you call it, agreeing.
You say, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, good idea, yes. But today, you know, any excuse, yes, you know how bad it is for me to take bath, you know. I catch cold and not sunny, but then if it were to be sunny, he says, I have such an important problem. Heiress will be waiting, and some correspondence which you have no idea.
Yeah, no idea.
You tell them there. So I come like that.
It's so too hot. It's not going to take a bath.
He didn't like too hot a water. Anything hot, he didn't like. Very hot.
Mm-hmm.
Just lukewarm. Everything is lukewarm. Tea also he didn't like hot. He didn't like anything very cold.
Why did he pick this place to live in?
So, that's how it was. So then they would send message over here. Ghagar would be helpless there. You know what Baba liked was to be very frank with you all. Something to be done quick. If at all there is a torture, one has to undergo a torture, it should be done something quick. But these women would take such a long
elaborate
time and make such an elaborate preparation for a lamb to go to a slaughterhouse, you see.
Here's your robe.
It should be done immediately, and only such things can be handled by men like me, you see, with rock-like heart. And I have no heart at all for anybody. Man or God man, you see. So, he preferred such things to be done here by me. So that's how there would be the tussle. Eventually they would give up. So this is do something now here. That's how you do.
So we were.
Well, then how would you do it?
Not that artistic business. You didn't like all that.
Bad.
Yeah,
right. But over here, there's nothing.
No, no, there only. But then, how to induce him? Then all that.
So you would go that side. Then.
Not necessarily, I'd go, but we will tell him to do it. But then, that was in the beginning. That was when I used to help him take bath and all that. But later on, nothing. But how? Later on, he left off taking bath. He never take bath. But then, how to induce it? That was a different facet. I said. Mm-hmm. So then, an inducement would be there. So you talk about it, we do this, and then inducement will be there. Some in the afternoon there will be a lot of perspiration, so naturally he would find out, inquire where is. We won't put that, what do you call it?
The cushion.
No, that box where the handkerchiefs were there, or napkin. Why is no a napkin put over there? He says, you want a napkin? I'll get it. So then we'll just dry his head in. Perspire, yes. Man perspires here. And all that. So I just go. He knew that I have very powerful nostrils. He knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I have very good sense, you see, of hearing and very good perception. He knew that. So he says, what is it? He turned to me and said, what is it? I will do that. He says, what is it? I said, I don't know what is it. No sooner I dry, what do you call it? Past the napkin over your head or something. It stinks somewhere.
But it didn't really.
No, of course not. So, really, does it stink? I don't know. Mera must be knowing because she combs your hair and all that. At least it's her duty to tell you. But I don't know. But to me, it is. My nostrils are very powerful. So, then you apply your own finger here.
Is it?
There's no, you know, when, what do you call the male, what do you call it? Dirt that sticks to the body?
Yes.
Rolls in. What do you call that? English.
Yeah, we call it dirt.
We call male. So it just gets into around the little cylinders.
Yeah.
But I don't have it. There's no smell. He says to me, well, I don't know. But if somebody were to come and embrace you something, I think it is time that you should wash your head, at least. If you don't want to wash your body or anything, so it's too much. Look at your soul also. See how they are. All the, what you call, dried up skin is there. Yes, it could become so thick, you see. So see now, and then I'll just do this, you see, to your soul. See this, see how it comes out. The powdery.
It sounds like a little boy that's just playing outside in the for 2 hours.
Yeah.
No, I'm not thinking of it.
It's like that. No, he wouldn't do that. Very gently. We have to be very gently. So then he says, all right, now then we should do it. So tell him, ring the bell. So ring the bell. He says, but the weather is not good. I said, look here, every day the weather is not going to be good. But that doesn't mean that you should come out over here after the bath. You can be there. We come there. You call us there. Now take bath in the afternoon when the bogus news is to be read. You read the newspaper there. There's no need for you to come here in the afternoon. You bring all the mail over there. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. Gavin would come. What is it now? What is it now? So she went, not to tell Baba, to ask. Then Baba says, these people are pressing me to take bath and all that because head is now stinking, they say, and all that. Does it really stink? She says, what nonsense, girls. You know, that's her nature.
Guileless.
Like a... Yeah, guileless. We are trying to help her.
Right, and she doesn't even
she's
go along.
She's a fool, I tell you, the first water. You can, when anything you see, such things are concerned, she'll never understand what we are trying to do. What nonsense. How can he stink like that? Yeah. He said, that's what I tell them, but he says it is. So immediately Gavi would come back to her senses. So let me see them. Then she'd say, yeah, there is some little dirt and all that. It's time that you see all that, what do you call dandruff and all that is collected and down. Then she'd agree. But it is always like that. I don't know why it's her nature like that. It's such a simple person. Although the whole thing was cooked there for her. They have sent the message, and then when the time comes, she'll simply say, "What nonsense!" That's how it is. But this came later on, you know. What happened was, he was not that simple. In the beginning, when I said this, then he came with a nice solution. That's a good idea. It's good. What you say is right. If it be so, then you say, ring the bell. See, first time. Later on, of course, he accepted to take part. But he had his own way in the beginning.